message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
My friend, it's a joy for us to come into your home again and to share with you the wonderful message of the wonderful grace of God found in the wonderful Word of God. And in the Bible is indeed that. I understand that it's misunderstood and it's thought of in a lot of different ways by a lot of different people. But you know, the Word of God, it's the blessed Word of God that stood the test of time and centuries, and there it is. And as you come to it and study it and begin to understand what's in it, what it's about, and how it works, and how it explains and reveals what God's doing today, oh, it becomes a marvelous thing. The Bible describes itself as the saints of old. One saint, Job, he said, "I desire thy word more than my necessary food." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." This is a Bible study broadcast, and that's why. Because we recognize the value of the Word of God. The book says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It doesn't say He loved the world so He gave His church, or He loved the world so He gave preachers, or He loved the world so He gave a bunch of standards and rules and regulations that if you lived up to them, He'd accept you. It says God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Paul says God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the message of the Word of God. We concluded last time in our study, and by the way, I hope you're listening on a regular basis, because we teach week after week right here on this station at this time, and we teach in a consecutive manner. In other words, the things we're talking about this week have something to do with what we talked about last week, and they'll have something to do with what we talk about the next week, because we're interested in you understanding and enjoying the Word of God. Now, last time we concluded by talking about when the program went off the air, we were talking about the joy and the blessing it is to know just where we stand in the program of God, to understand just what it is God's doing today and where in the Word of God that is described. And we've seen time and again how that the books in our so-called New Testament, the books of Matthew to Revelation, lay themselves out in your index just according to the way God's program is working itself out. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John contain the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to the nation Israel. The book of Acts contains the offer of salvation given. The nation Israel rejects their Messiah. God raises him from the dead and offers them a renewed opportunity of repentance, which they again refuse. And the book of Acts is the story of how God was just in His dealings and setting aside the nation Israel and introducing a new program, the dispensation of grace, in which we live today. The agency in the dispensation of grace is the church, the body of Christ, where God's forming a spiritual body of believers. God today is not seeking to reclaim real estate and political structures and economic structures and power structures in the world. Rather, God is forming the church, the body of Christ, a spiritual body of believers, Jew and Gentile placed together in this one spiritual unit called the body of Christ on an absolute equal basis, simply through faith and faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's described in the Word of God in Romans through Philemon. And if you'll take Romans through Philemon in your Bible and you'll study those books, you'll see what God's doing today. And we want to look at that issue about what God's program for today is. Not simply where it is. Where it is in the books of Romans through Philemon. The Apostle Paul says, "I speak to you Gentiles in as much as I am the Apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office." He says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that Christ gave to me to give to you, how that by revelation the Lord Jesus Christ made known to me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known." People prior to Paul did not know this secret that Jesus Christ gave to him, this secret purpose that God had hidden Himself but has now made it known and would have it made known to all men. That's why Paul said his purpose, and it's our purpose here, is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, but now has been made manifest to His saints. We try to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. But what is that? What is it that God, what is this particular, this new way that Paul has committed to him and through him has been revealed for the dispensation of grace, this new way in which Christ is to be made known and proclaimed and what it is God's doing through him? Well, it's a wonderful thing to understand what God's doing and to see the details of it. And we want to see exactly or some of the things that program entails for the believer, for you and for me as believers in Christ in time during the dispensation of grace. Colossians chapter 2 verse number 6 and 7 is a passage of Scripture that refers to what God is doing in the life of the believer today. Now, if you're a child of God, if you're a saved person, this will describe for you what it is God is accomplishing in your life. Now, if you'll find out what God's doing in your life and then go and participate in what He's doing, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be doing the will of God in your life. You see, doing the will of God is not some speculative, highly subjective thing where you sit down and you almost just kind of throw the tarot cards out on the table, you know. Some people, you know, they get up in the morning and they pull a promise out of the little promise box, and all the promises in the Word are mine, I'll pull one out. It's not that kind of thing. No, it's an intelligent understanding of the revelation that God has given us about His will, and when you understand it, then by faith you can respond to it and see it work in your life for God's glory. Notice what he says, Colossians 2 verse 6, "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Now, it's important that you grasp the "as so." You see, the Bible uses comparisons. And he says, you understand this? Okay, then this is just the same way. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." In other words, the Christian life, the life of a believer, is lived on exactly the same basis that he got saved on. Now you think a minute. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Well, the Bible says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When you got saved by trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone. You see, the Bible says that God made Him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, and on Calvary's cross, He died for our sins. He died for everything that's wrong with us. He took our sins, God took our sins, placed it on the body of His own Son, placed it on the soul of His Son, made His soul an offering for sin. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whom God has set forth, placed Him on public display as a propitiation through faith in His blood. The word propitiation is a Bible word. It's, medical science has their terminology. The mechanic at the garage, he has his terminology. And the Bible has its terminology to communicate the divine truths about what God's accomplishing through the finished work of Christ. Jesus Christ died there as a fully satisfying payment. When He died there for our sins on Calvary, listen, He died and the debt is paid in full. And the fact that that's true, He died and God delivered Him to death, He was buried, and then He was raised again for our justification. That is, when Jesus Christ died, God made Him to be sin. He died and He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The wages of sin is death. He didn't have a death to die. He didn't have any sin of His own, so He had no death of His own. But you're the sinner, I'm the sinner, so He took our sin. He died our death. The only answer to death, folks, is life. And because He put away sin completely and totally in what He did at Calvary, God Almighty, it was not possible that death should hold Him, for He had taken care of sin and put it out of the way. Therefore, God raised Him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ at Calvary, His resurrection is proof positive. It is as though it were the receipt that says, "Paid in full." The reason Paul said, "If Christ be not raised, then are we yet in our sins," is because if He wasn't raised from the dead, Folks, then his death wasn't mine, it was his. The wages of sin is death. Death is holding him. Oh, but Paul looks at the grave and he looks at death and he says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ died for my sins. What a wonderful thing that is. He died to pay for everything that's wrong with me and with you. Then he was buried. Then he was raised again the third day. I mean, the deed was done and the job was over. They laid him to rest, and then God raised him up to newness of life. Now that wonderful truth, when you and I realize that we're sinners, you ever realize you're bankrupt? You ever realize you're... It's not an easy thing to admit, is it? We don't like to admit that. But when we realize that we're hopeless and helpless, and we can't do it ourselves, and when you've come to the end of trying and pushing and going to do it your own way, then you look by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You look by faith to Calvary and you say, "That's not his death, that's mine. I'm the sinner. I'm the one that should have died. I'm the one that should have suffered the wrath of God for eternity in the lake of fire. But he did it in my place. He did it for me. Yea, he did it as me." You know what God does? God does something marvelous. He takes you and he places you into his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God today is forming a body of believers called the church, the body of Christ. It's a spiritual body of believers. And when you trust His Son, He places you into that body of believers in Christ. That's what the verse says. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." How'd you do it? You look by faith at Calvary and you said, "He did it all. And He did enough. And He did it for me, and I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to fall in love with the lover of my soul and trust Him who died for me." When you do that, God says, "I'll put you in my Son, and everything belongs to Him, belongs to you." You know, if you're somebody's body, you're them. You're part of them. You're in living union with them. We'll talk about that in a minute, how that comes about. If someone came up and stood on my foot, I'd say, "Would you please get off of me? You're standing on me, on one of my members, on my foot. I need you to get off." It'd be me, living union with me. We're placed into Christ, placed in the living union. As you've received, how'd that come about? Well, it came about by grace through faith in what God accomplished at Calvary. So it doesn't come about by legalism. It didn't come about by me following a bunch of laws and rules and regulations because I kept faith. It didn't come about by human viewpoint, by me figuring out a way that was going to please God. And if I did this, or if I let go of that, or if I accomplished this, or if I gave this. It didn't come about by religious ceremonies and ceremonial correctness, and I dotted every I and crossed every T and gave to every charity. It didn't come about by me keeping the traditions and the rules and the regulations. No. You know how it came about? It's when I simply quit trusting what I could do, when I simply said, "Lord, help me, or I perish." And then God Almighty took what His Son did for me, and by the great transaction of faith, gave it to me and made it mine. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, by grace, through faith, plus nothing. It's not legalism. It's not human tradition. It's not religious ceremonialism. It's not tradition. You know what it is? It's faith in the finished work of Christ. That's the way you get saved. And Paul said, now, as a believer, as somebody in Christ, don't forget that the operative principle in Christ is grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for you because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is what God has accomplished for you in Calvary. And the way the Christian life works is not by me saying, "Okay, God gave me the gift, now I'm going to go out and earn it." It's by me saying, "God gave me a wonderful gift. He gave me life in Christ Jesus. He gave me everything that belongs to Christ becomes mine. Now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the gift and I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to see what God gave me." You know, if you have a birthday and someone thinks enough of you to give you a gift And you take the gift, and it's beautifully wrapped with a wonderful bow on it. You know what your wife always says. My wife does anyway. Save the bow. And so you say, okay, I'm going to save the bow. And you take it, and you set it on your coffee table, and you never open it. You know, the person that gave it to you is going to feel a little sad about that, because they didn't give it to you just to decorate the coffee table. They put something in it that was going to be advantageous for you to have, and they wanted to see you have it and enjoy it and get the delight out of it they intended for you to have and get delight by seeing you enjoy it. So what do? You open it up and you get the thing out, then you discard it. You don't look at it again. No, that isn't what you do. You get it. You open the gift and you take it out. And if it's a tie or a sweater or a coat or whatever it might be, whatever you wanted and you got, you use it and you enjoy it. And you're enriched by it. That's the way the Christian life is. Notice verse 7. So walk ye in Him. The Christian walk is not me out there. You see, God doesn't save us, set up our sails and blow into our sails a gust of air and then just say, go do it yourself. He says, look, you couldn't do it, so I had to save you. You couldn't do it, I had to do it for you. I put you in my Son, and we're doing it. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God before ordained that we should walk. God has a purpose for the body of Christ. He has some works that this body of Christ is to accomplish, that this agency is to accomplish for His glory, but we are His workmanship. Now notice what His workmanship entails. So walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Now that issue of being rooted, come with me to Galatians chapter number 3. You got to get a hold of this, because this is a joy. This is a thrill. To be rooted. First thing God does is He roots us into Christ. Now you understand what it is to root something. Some time ago my wife and I were traveling. We were in Hawaii. And as we were traveling there, we took some time out to go around and to see the scenery and the country. And as a wife will do, she wanted to buy some of the native plants. And so she bought a couple of plants, little sticks really with wax on each end. And they had instructions about taking them home and rooting them. And we took them home and we scraped the wax off according to the instructions and put them in a glass, each one in a different glass, and set them on the windowsill over the kitchen sink, expecting them to take root. And one of them beautifully began to sprout roots. In a little while, we were able to take it and transplant it and put it into water. I'm sorry, into a potting soil, and we've got a nice little plant. The other one never did spring forth into roots, and we finally had to throw it away. Rooting. He's rooted you into Christ. It's the horticultural term of having that life spring forth. To be rooted into Christ is to be placed into living union with Him. God permanently and for keeps places you and me into living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the body. My hand is in living union with my arm. My arm is in living union with my shoulder, with the trunk of my body, and we are all one. That hand is as much me as any other part of my body. Everywhere I go, that hand right there goes. Now that hand just hangs around most of the time because I write with my right hand. I do most everything with my right hand. But it's, you know, when I eat, that hand gets as much nourishment as this hand. It's part of me. How do you get that way? Just like your arm is rooted into your body and your hand into your arm and your fingers into your hand. Listen, God is deeply rooting believers into Christ. That's the first thing He's doing with us, placing us into living union with Him. How does that come about? Galatians chapter 3. How do you get into Christ? How do you become a partaker of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? The members of my body partake equally of the life that belongs to me. How do you and I partake of His life that way? Rooted, living union with Him. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been, notice, baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There in Christ is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor female, bond nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Hey, folks, The way you get rooted into Jesus Christ, the way you become identified with Him, the way you become one with Him and one with one another, the way you come to the place where you belong to Him is by being baptized into Him. Now you need to notice that, because religion and the religions of the world, not just Christianity, but every world religion has some kind of a water ceremony that they require of you in order to gain God's blessing. Here's a baptism in the Bible that has nothing to do with water. It has to do with God the Holy Spirit taking you and placing you into living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a baptism that, when it's accomplished, results in there being no males, no females, no Jews, no Gentiles, no social distinctions. Just one spiritual unity in Christ. Now you know that's not a physical baptism, because after you've been physically baptized, you're still a male or still a female and so forth. What is it then? 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. Look, notice. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. By one Spirit, you see, God the Holy Ghost takes the believing sinner when he trusts in Jesus Christ as his Savior, and the first thing God the Holy Spirit does is God the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus Christ. He takes and fuses you into Christ so that you belong to Him and you become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. You literally partake of His life. So much so that Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, let's praise God for a minute, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. You see that? God the Holy Spirit takes you and places you into Christ, and He blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you realize that when God rooted you into Jesus Christ, that He gave you that very instant everything He ever had for you? That instant. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10 says, "And ye are complete in Him." Look at that word. Complete. You know something? If you're complete, you're not lacking anything in Him. That's the foundation of the whole Christian life. That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about church buildings with steeples on them. It's not about going to church on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It's not about Christmas and Easter. It's not about hymn books. It's not about confessing your sins to somebody to get them to forgive you. It's not about doing this and not doing that, keeping this and not wearing those kind of clothes, but wearing this and not wearing beards and not wearing... It hadn't got anything to do with that. It has to do with God Almighty taking a sinner that trusts His Son and putting him into Christ and to make you complete in Him. And when you're complete in Him, there isn't anything you don't have that you need. And everything you need, you've got. Where? In Christ. And that's the foundation of it all. You know what that verse says? It says, God made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you need righteousness? You need to be made right today. You have it. Where? In Him. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Do you need to be free from your sin today? Does sin bind you? Maybe it's liquor. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's cigarettes. Maybe it's sex. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's avarice. Maybe it's an evil disposition and temper. Maybe it's just malcontent. You want to be free from the shackles of sin? The songwriter says he breaks the bonds of cancel sin and sets the prisoners free. You know what that means? He does two things. He forgives you. He cancels it out. We have forgiveness. You know what that means? That means God doesn't hold your sin against you anymore. You say, but I'm a sinner. Yeah, but you see, He took care of your sins. He dealt with your sins back there, and He puts you in Christ. It's not what you do, not what you don't do. It's in what Christ did, and in Him, God's already taken care of your sin. That's wonderful. And not only does He send them out of the way, forgive them, but He sets you free. He says, we've been made accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. You need acceptance today? You need someone to open you with welcome arms and say, come, my Beloved, you're mine. You know what God says? In Christ, you got it all. You know what that is? That's the foundation of the Christian life. The Christian life, God's program is rooting us in Christ. It's the believer becoming one with Him. God's program isn't, it's not religion, it's not works, it's not days, it's not ceremonies. Listen, God's program today is what He's accomplished for us in what Jesus Christ did, and what God wants to do is make you one with His Son and place you into that, and there bless you in Christ with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places for all eternity. How do you get in Christ? You get in Him by faith. And when you trust Him and you get in Him by faith, the Christian life is lived on that basis. You know what? That's why Paul says over in chapter 3 of Colossians, he says, Christ is all and in all. You see, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, God made Him everything. And He's all. I wonder if you've trusted Him today. Have you ever really relied exclusively upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Believing and trusting that He died to pay for all of your sins? If you have, if you haven't, do it. That decision is yours to make, and the moment you make it, God will save you and put you into Christ. And if you have made it, listen, my friend, let Christ be who God gave Him to be, and that is your all and in all. Believe what God believes about His Son, that He did it all, and He did enough, and He did it for you. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Rejoicing in Grace. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 128. That's tape offer number 128. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. We trust that our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.